Thank you for listening to this Calvary Apostolic Church podcast. We believe this message will be a blessing to you. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to join us for worship in the near future. God bless you.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the first time in 26 years, it is not my responsibility as pastor to preach the kickoff message of the year. And I have enjoyed it all week long. I called the pastor on Friday. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm getting ready for Sunday." I called him yesterday. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm getting ready for tomorrow." Been there, done that. And I'm certainly enjoying the fact that it is now the responsibility of the pastor to come and preach the first message of 2019. Preach the word in Jesus' name.
Let's just clap our hands and worship the Lord together. Come on, lift your voice. Just let that ring out. I am indeed excited about 2019. Are you excited about 2019? I was happy to say goodbye to last year and hello to this year. I want to preach to you this morning from the book of Acts, the launch of the New Testament church. Turn to the first chapter of the book of Acts with me if you would. There are times I struggle with themes, having stamina to go the whole year or go for years. And I know I'm not the only one who has struggled with that at times. And so I don't know that I have a vision for you this morning, but I sure have a challenge that should go well beyond 2019. It should actually have already been the theme of your life since you received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but it should be something that carries us from today until we meet Jesus in the rapture. The sixth verse, Acts chapter number 1. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" This is the disciples looking for a king who sat on an earthly throne and asking if the kingdom of Israel would be restored to authority and power as it once was. And you can read about that in the Old Testament. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood, now they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And I want to preach to you a challenge for 2019. Be witnesses. Be witnesses. Would you just lift your hands and ask God to help you to hear from heaven today?
Jesus, I pray that you would help us to hear from heaven this morning. I pray that our minds would wrap around what you are desiring to speak to this church today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that we would leave here challenged, that we would leave here changed, that our thoughts would be adjusted, that our mindsets would be shifted, and that we would see the purpose and the meaning of the church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
What a great crowd we have here this morning. I think we ought to just thank God for everybody who is in the house of the Lord this morning. As pastor, there are times I've looked out and seen far less seats occupied than I do this morning. And so I'm thankful for every seat that is occupied. In 2018, we had an exact repeat of 2017 in the fact that our attendance average was identical to the number. 334 people on average every Sunday morning came here and worshiped, and I think we ought to thank God for that as well. That is a great number of people coming to worship together on average every single Sunday morning in 2018. 35 people walked into this building with their sins still on their lives, but they went down in the waters of baptism. And when they came up out of the waters of baptism, every sin they had ever committed was completely washed away. 35 people's lives completely changed by water baptism. And in 2018, we saw 112 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence in speaking in other tongues. And I think we ought to thank God for that too. There are churches that I know of now who have no idea when the last time someone was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in their church was. Ask them when the last time someone was baptized, they don't know. I know of someone who preached at a church a couple of years ago, and they did not remember the last time there was water in the baptistry to baptize people. And they had two people show up that morning who received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they thought back, and it had been at least 11 years since anyone was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had to wait till the next day to baptize them because they had to take the stuff that they had filled the baptistry up with because they used it as storage. When we bought that small swimming pool right over here, 990 gallons worth, the architect didn't realize how we operated. And so we asked him, what are we going to do with 990 gallons of water sitting there continually? He said, oh, no, you only fill it up when you need it. Mr. Felty, all due respect, but that's 1,000 gallons of water. And we never know when we're going to need it because salvation waits for no man. We can't schedule salvation. Oh, you want to get saved? All right, we'll pencil you in for the 21st of February when we have Salvation Day. It's always time for somebody to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's always time for somebody to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's always time that somebody would repent. You can't schedule it because God's drawing on somebody and they feel like they need to let the waters of baptism be troubled. So 35 people last year walked into the waters of baptism, 112 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we don't have a count on how many repented of their sins, but let's just thank God for every sinner that repented of their sins in the altars here at this church. Now in my flesh, I could be discouraged that the numbers weren't greater. But I have a reason to rejoice this morning. Somebody walked in here full of sin, with a sin-sick heart, and God saw fit to let somebody pray them through to the gift of the Holy Ghost, and somebody washed them in water through the waters of baptism. God let that happen at Calvary 35 times right there, and 112 times in these altars right here. We have something to be thankful for. We saw fruit last year. But we have a responsibility. It's easy to put a number on things that we should baptize this many and we should pray that many through. What I want to do is please God every single day. And if I'll do that, the right number of people will be baptized. The right number of people will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The right number of people will repent of their sins. If I'll fulfill my responsibility to be a witness, God will do His thing if I do my part. But I can't expect God to do everything for me when Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "Be witnesses." After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Be witnesses. If you've got the gift of the Holy Ghost, would you just wave your hand right now? If you've spoken in another tongue, evidence of the Holy Ghost, wave your hand. The next thing He said is, after you've received the power, become witnesses. As soon as that starts to flow from your mouth, your next responsibility, same sentence, separated by a colon, be a witness. As soon as God changed your life, tell somebody else about it and be a witness. Every prosecutor and every defense attorney wants a credible witness. They study their testimony to make sure that they know what they're talking about. That's why we've got to study the word to show ourselves approved. That's why we've got to dig into the word. So when He calls on us as a witness to the world, do we know what we're talking about? Or are we just playing spiritual telephone? Anybody ever go to a party and play telephone? And the first person says, "Blue shoes." And the second person says, "Blue shoes." And the third person says, "White marshmallows." The fourth person says, "Red cotton candy." And the fifth person has messed it up so bad, they're not even speaking English. But we've got people who are listening to people who listen to people who listen to people who read the word. We cannot play spiritual telephone and reach our world. We've got to get into that book and be a credible witness. Sean, can I talk to you? Can I use the example that you brought to the office? Thank you. I didn't ask that before. If you just said no, I'd have kept going, but it would have been embarrassing. Sean came in my office and he started to explain to me that he wanted to be a part of Calvary. And he said, "I just want to know why you preach what you preach, not based on you being an employee or you being a child, being the son of the pastor. I want to know what you're convicted about personally." That struck a chord. He said, "Because if I'm going to follow you, I got to know you know what you're talking about." He wasn't challenging me. He was confirming that he was following somebody who was really following Jesus. We got too many people not knowing who they're following. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. I appreciate that. We've got to know who we're following. If you're going to lead somebody to Jesus, it cannot be third-hand gospel. It's got to be first-hand. So what was I able to do? I was able to leave behind my desk and I sat in the chair beside him. And I opened my Bible, unprepared for a Bible study. I thought it was a meeting. And I started to walk him through the book of Acts. And I started to talk to him about repentance and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which he had already received both. And then I started going in on baptism. I spent a lot of time on baptism because Sean hadn't been baptized yet. And when I finished, he said, "Pastor, let me think about it for a little while." And he came to me the next Sunday. He said, "Pastor, I can't wait any longer to be baptized." I had to be a credible witness before Sean had the revelation. A witness is a person who is reliable and who has great knowledge of someone, an event, or a phenomenon. And it has to be by being present. A testimony is credible when the witness saw, knows, and both by personal presence. You're not going to lead someone to God by saying, I think this is what the Bible says, but I haven't checked for myself. My grandma used to. Or I used to listen to somebody who said that this was how it was. No, if you're going to be a witness, you've got to have a personal experience. Why do I read the word? Not to preach every Sunday, but to know Jesus. Because what if he calls on me to be a credible witness unexpectedly? Have you ever have somebody walk up to you and say, what does your church believe? Apostolic. What's that? You know those people that are crazy? Yeah, that's us. That's the extent of some people's testimony. When it should be. Apostolic comes out of the apostles' doctrine. And we're Pentecostal because on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the ninth hour of the day. This was prophesied way back when. This is what the prophet Joel said. That in the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You're not going to get that far if you've got a... We're those people that jump and run. That's not a credible witness. That's a sideline reporter. He said, be witnesses. And that's why you're able to say everything that happened in the book of Acts. I've seen it happen with my own eyes at the church I go to. I've seen them healed. I've seen the blind healed. I've seen the deaf ears unstopped. Years ago, before we were blessed with great rhythm in this church, I was the drummer. Not the time to say amen. And I remember the night that David Farrell, an elder in the church, gave a interpretation of tongues. Is that right? When he finished giving the interpretation, he fell dead on the second row out in the aisle. The drum cage was back on this side, and I still remember my dad. I thought he was going over the pulpit, but he stood up like this and he started commanding life into that body. And we had two nurses with their hands checking pulse going, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And I remember dad speaking life, and he kept speaking life, and he kept speaking life, and declaring healing and declaring resurrection. And brother Farrell, who was dead, started to cough. He came back to life. What was dead? It happened in the book of Acts, and I've seen it with my own eyes in this church. I am a witness. I am a witness. I am a witness. I've seen people healed of all manner of diseases. I've seen the lame leap. I have seen the deaf hear. I've seen people who walked into church like this walk out with their eyes open, physically and spiritually. If it happened in that book right there, in the book of Acts, I've seen it with my own eyes. That's what you call a witness. I can get on any bench in any courtroom spiritually and say I have personal experience by presence that it can happen again. That's how I'm able to look at the sick and say you can recover. I've seen it happen. I've seen my sister diagnosed with papillary cancer, and now there's no cancer in that body right there because we prayed. I've got an aunt that had stage 3B lung cancer, and the doctor said, you're a half step away from me being able to tell you there's nothing I can do for you. And 8 weeks later, the doctor looked at the same aunt and said, I cannot explain this outside of saying it's a miracle. I'm not medically allowed to declare you cancer free, but I can't find any cancer in your body and you were about to die. I am telling you, this church is full of witnesses. If you're a witness, would you just clap your hands this morning? It's not secondhand. You've been going to the source. I'm in the source where I become a witness. I bet you didn't know this, but to spread the word, you've got to know the word. To share the word, you've got to know the word. I can't share something I don't have. And so when someone is hurting, and someone is in pain, and someone's suffering, I was not supposed to work on this Monday, particular Monday, and Michelle called me and she said, "Can you come to the church very quickly?" And I said, "Yeah, what's going on?" She said, "They've just brought someone here to the church to be delivered of demon possession." I did not put on a suit and tie. I did not grab my big Thompson Chain study Bible. I had full knowledge that there's not a devil in hell that is stronger than the power of God. Michelle, Jacob was here that day. Where are you, Jacob? Is he maybe in the back? Jacob was here that day. Ruth was here. I was here. And then there was a group of people who had brought this lady. She had received the gift of the Holy Ghost and been baptized. And on the way home from church, somebody in the car warned her not to partake of a sin that she had had in her life in the past, or there would be something drastic happen to her. And she wanted to see if they were telling the truth. So she tried the drug that she had tried before. And immediately it threw her on the floor and she was in convulsions, laying on her back, and her back was completely arched. And the only thing touching the floor was her head and her tiptoes. It scared some people that were living in the same house as her. But they knew where to bring her. And so on Monday we stepped in the chapel right there. And she looked me right in the eyes. And I said, "What is your name?" And she growled at me and contorted. And she started doing this. And all the people that brought her were done. They were freaked out. And Ruth and I were just standing there flat-footed. And she was staring me in the eyes. And I said, "I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave this body now and never return." And she kept contorting. She kept doing it. And I thought, okay. What do I do now? I thought the only thing I know that works is that. About the third time through, she was bent over backwards and her hands, she was bent like this, her hands were almost touching the ground behind her. And when it came out, she hit the floor and she started speaking in tongues, because there's not a devil in hell that is more powerful than Almighty God. There is nothing that a witness cannot accomplish if he's got the source. There's nothing you can't search through this book and find that you can't do. If God did it before, he'll do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's be witnesses. Clap your hands right now. I feel faith. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you immediately become a witness. You start letting it out. Now, some of you all are under the protection plan, but I'm trying to get you out. You're in witness protection right now, and someone asks you about the Holy Ghost, you're like, "Now, I've been staying in this spiritual hotel over here so nobody finds me out. I've been living with my auntie so no one knows where I am, okay? I've been staying out east so no one knows where I am, right? No, I moved when I got the Holy Ghost because I didn't want anybody to know. I'm in the witness protection plan." Some of you need to get up out of the witness protection plan and be a witness. This world doesn't need people in a protection plan. The Holy Ghost is your protection. We got too many people hiding a testimony that is a witness.
Mark, can you come here for a second? I'm not going to do it justice, but you might be able to. But you got to doing that. Like, what is that Running Man thing? Do that real quick. That right there. Okay. Don't get better than my preaching. Some of y'all are like, that dude up there is nuts. No, he's a witness of his past and his present. Some of y'all every once in a while hear, ah! And then some of you see some white-haired bishop, get that hanky out. You are witnessing his present. You haven't been through his past. I am a witness of what I used to be and what he made me. Do not over-sanctify your testimony so you're not embarrassed of who you used to be. If it's covered by the blood, don't worry about it. If somebody's judging you on who you used to be instead of who you are now, they've got the problem, not you. Thank you, Mark. And so when you see somebody up here singing and tears start to run down their face, it's because they have emerged from the shadows of sin. And they are now part of a body of witnesses that can look at any sin and say, I used to be in that. I used to be addicted to that. That used to be my vice. That used to be the bottle that I found the bottom of. That used to be the pill bottle that I enjoyed. But I found something far greater. Something that's never run dry. Something that did not bankrupt me financially. I found something greater. And now I'm a witness. I've been through loss. I've been through pain. I've been through suffering. But you don't understand. He found me in the midst of my mess. And now I'm just a witness. I'm a witness that he can take any mess and start to put the pieces back together. I'm a witness that he can take a boy who didn't think that life was worth living and he can put a gift in him to preach. I'm preaching to people this morning who you looked at your life in the mirror and thought it's not worth living any longer, but God put something inside of you and he said, I want to fill you and I'm going to make you a witness. Let's just clap our hands for a couple of moments. A credible witness does not think so. He knows so. You ever tried to see a judge, try to see a prosecuting attorney during the cross-examination adjust the story of the witness? The ones who are not credible fold under the pressure because they can't keep their story straight. But my story's straight this morning. I once was lost. And now I'm found. I was under the bondage of sin. And now I live in victory. Because the one who went to the cross found me where I was and brought me to where I am. My story's not changing. My testimony's not changing. I am who I am because of who he is. Some of you have been under cross-examination in 2018. And you feel like your story has changed because you've gotten confused by cross-examination of a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney saying, are you sure that's what you believe? When you got in the middle of that mess, you changed your story. When you got in the middle of that trial, you started questioning things. You ever wonder what goes on in a witness's mind when they are standing between a life sentence and someone walking out free? They've got to go back to the facts. They can't allow the emotions of the moment to adjust the thinking of the day. They've got to go back to the facts. What really happened? They got to play it over in their mind. Okay, I saw them do this. And then they did this. And then they did this. And when someone comes to you, are you sure God can come through? Are you positive God will do that for you? And then you close your eyes. As the devil, the words echo in your mind. He did this when I was a sinner.
He did this after I was saved and I failed him. He did this and he did this. And when you get to the end of the examination, you can realize he never failed me one time. He's never let me down. He's never let me go. You can examine me over and over and over again. My emotions can get involved, but my story stays the same. Do you realize to be a credible witness, you have to go through the tragedy? You have to go through the process to be a credible witness. The credible witness was there on the day of the crime. They were there on the day of despair. When the crying family is behind the bench in the courtroom where the separation, they were there to witness it. And so when the emotion comes over them, they can't change their story because somebody's caught up in emotion over here and somebody's crying justice over here and somebody's speaking innocence over here. The enemy is going to cry justice in the ears of every sinner and he's going to try to take their life. But the church has got to keep their eyes shut to the devices of the enemy and say, I know he did it for me. He can do it for 38,900 people in Westerville. I know he did it for 112 last year. What's he want to do this year? I know 35 were baptized in the name of Jesus in 2018. What does this year hold? It's when the unjust accusations that were born in falsehood start to be hurled that a credible witness stands up and said, that's not how the events happened. That's not how it played out. They're not telling the truth. And when the enemy comes and said, you're not going to win anybody this year. Your testimony's credible? No, you've changed your story too many times. No, I'm here as a witness. I was present when 120 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was present when we baptized 51 year. I was present when we saw over 100 filled with the Holy Ghost in one day a couple years ago. I was downtown in 2006 when we saw 1,000 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in one service at Nationwide Arena. I was there. You cannot steal that from me. But the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to get your witness from you. Because he knows that if you allow your witness to be told, it will not just affect Jerusalem. It won't just affect Westerville. It won't just affect Judea. It won't just affect Ohio. It won't just affect Samaria. It'll affect the Midwest. And then it'll move from to the uttermost parts of the earth. He realizes if one testimony or one witness gets loosed, this whole world will change. Who's going to let their witness loose this year? Who's going to unlock their witness this year? Who's coming out of the protection plan? Who's going to get out from under that? It's the power of the Spirit that makes us witnesses. That's the strongest power in the world. It's the power of God flowing through you. You don't need more power. You need to exercise the power you have. I've been praying for more power. Why not use what you've got? You know how to use more power that's already there? Deeper consecration. That's why we're going to go into 3 days of prayer and fasting. And I'm just going to pause right here. God's going to talk to some of you or just confirm to some of you. And I'm going to do it right now. You need to fast more than 3 days this week. You need to press on a little bit longer. God's been calling you to an extended fast. And you've got every excuse why this week wasn't a good week. But no better way to launch this year as a witness than to deny flesh and step into the Spirit a little deeper. How do I become a greater witness? Consecration is a way to become a greater witness. The disciples had one job. World evangelism, which happened by way of discipleship. Brent, are you upstairs today? Stand up, lift up your hands. There you go. Brent is here. And he's a product of discipleship. Because Scott and Chad found Brent at work, and they, for a year or more, taught Brent a Bible study continually. And now Brent has brought his two girls, and they are products of discipleship. Please do not misunderstand me. And please do not say that I don't think praying through the gift of the Holy Ghost is important. But we were called to make disciples. We were called to reproduce ourselves. And if we'll make people a disciple, God will fill them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've got to make disciples. And it starts by being a witness. Brent would have never followed Chad and Scott if he didn't realize there was something in them that he wanted in his own life. I've had a great time of fellowshipping with Brian. I've gotten to know his testimony and his story. Brent and Brian also. Mark and Brian sang in a youth choir together in Indianapolis. And when Mark realized Brian moved to Columbus, he invited him to come to Calvary. And since then, Brian and I realized that we worked together as valets at the same hotel at the same time in Indianapolis when I was there. And now Brian is a part of this church because of discipleship and because of love and because of being a part. This is an apostolic church. And we have to come together in apostolic unity. We may not fill every one of your emotional needs and your social needs, but we're here to fill your spiritual needs. And when you become part of the body, the other things take care of themselves. This is not a country club. This is a place where hurting people come and their needs get met. I'm sorry if I've missed anybody else who has been discipled. Those are just the ones that came to my mind. But I look out here. I see you, B. Ricky and Kimmy. Congratulations on your recent wedding and welcome home from your honeymoon. This week I start a Bible study with Sean because he wants to know more about the things of God. You don't give someone a diploma because they walk in graduation. You give it to them because they have gone through the process of learning. And we have to go through the process of learning if we want to enter in. We have to become witnesses before we can walk into the presence of God in heaven. We've got to spread the word. We've got to spread what's been given to us. He freely gave it to us. Let's freely give it to this city this year as witnesses that He is the way, the truth, the light. Let's just clap our hands for a moment as faith builds here. I challenge you to be a witness this year. I challenge you to get your testimony out and dust it off and say, I used to be a rotten sinner. I used to lie. I used to cheat. I used to be involved with this. I used to be involved with that. I spent time in jail. All the things you want to say. But you can always come back with, but I was saved by the grace of God. Your testimony might be embarrassing, but it might be what let somebody realize in the midst of their mess, there's a God who pulls us up out of it. Because before that can be unleashed, we've got to be a witness. In the Greek, witness and martyr are interchangeable. So a witness is loyal no matter the cost. The scripture says that if we love Him, we'll never be ashamed. This world has tried everything to find happiness. And some are ashamed to share that we speak in tongues because it's laughed at. But yet people go to the same bar every weekend, drink the same thing. They wake up unhappy and broke. But I've never seen anybody walk away from the altar of repentance unhappy with their decision.
I've never seen somebody walk back in and say, you know what? I didn't feel a thing. But I have had people come up out of the baptistry and say, what is this? I've never felt anything to compare to what this is right now. Well, that right there is salvation. That right there is a debt being wiped away that you owed, but you no longer owe. But how do I repay? Be a witness. How do I fulfill my calling? Be a witness. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both here and there and beyond that. And then in the entire world. This year, God's going to call some of you to overseas ministry. This year, he's going to call some of you to the evangelistic field. This year, he's going to call some of you to start a Bible study that you have been neglecting. This year, he's going to call you out of Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. This year, he's going to call you out of Columbus into another state, into another city. This year, he's going to call you into another country to reach the world. I don't like when people move away, but I cannot stand between them and the call of God. So as a pastor this morning, if God has called you and confirmed a bishop and I for you to go, we will send you. There's going to be a witness unleashed in this church this year. I'm just going to prophesy it now. I prophesy witnesses will be released from this congregation this year. I prophesy that fresh voices of witnesses will be unlocked. Some of you have been hiding the testimony for many various reasons, but I tell you right now, it's going to be unlocked this year in new places. You feel like you're working in a burnover field, but I tell you, the fields are white with harvest. I tell you, he's going to thrust his sickle yet again into this world. And those who have rejected Jesus' name baptism, you will reap the harvest of those. If you will be a witness, if you'll stand with me this morning. So this morning was much like a progress report as well as a challenge for this year. But I feel if you will take into your spirit what I believe the Lord gave me, to be witnesses. You cannot fill anybody with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You cannot wash anybody's sins away, but you can share what God's done with you. My past is more embarrassing than I'm willing to admit this morning publicly. But I know a God who met me at every one of my failures. He knelt down in the midst of all of my shortcomings. And he saw me on the ground and he started to pick up the pieces. And he said, oh, I could still use this. Oh, I can use that hurt. I can use this pain here. I can use this suffering over here. And some of you have suffered so greatly this year and you don't know why. But now you'll be able to minister to people you never have been able to relate to before now. Your hurt is not in vain. Your pain is not useless. For the one who stooped to write in the sand in the temple floor that day stoops to write in your situation. And he starts picking up the pieces and he looks at the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and he says, where are thine accusers? And she looks around and realizes her accusers have had to walk away because all of them had sinned. Yeah.
I just want to open the altar now to anybody who wants to come and pray about being a witness this year. I urge you to come and cry out. Some of you probably ought to pour out pain right now that you thought served no purpose. Somebody ought to pour out some pain that you thought was useless. And maybe you got a little upset with God about why you went through what you went through, but now it was so you could look at somebody who was in the same situation and say, I've been there. You can recover from that. You can come back from that. That's it. Somebody cry out. I'm opening this altar. There's room for everybody up here today. Be sensitive now to pray with someone beside you who maybe needs some encouragement this morning. That's it. Pour it out to him. God's working on people right now who have kept that witness locked up, who have kept that witness held back as if it was your reputation on the line. Ought to be a cry going out this morning for those of you who know he's picked you up. He's healed hurts. He's mended wounds. He's repaired brokenness. And if he did it for you, are you willing to tell somebody else about it?